Let me invite you to open your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 8. Over the last several weeks, we have been looking at lessons from the book of Nehemiah. We presented two lessons last week, and we used the book of Nehemiah as our text. Tonight, I want us to spend some time in Nehemiah chapter 8. You remember we referenced Nehemiah chapter 8 this morning. Nehemiah 8 verse number 3, where we notice that the people were attentive to the Word of God. Well, tonight we're going to look at Nehemiah 8 in a little bit more detail. And I think tonight's lesson will go hand in hand with what we talked about this morning as we mentioned the importance of God's Word, the attitude of that we need to have towards the Word, as we hunger, as we thirst after the Word, desiring to really know the Word of God. Well, here is a context that will encourage you to want to be a better student of God's Word. And we are starting a new year, and this is the time of the year where we set our goals, and I want us to do that spiritually speaking tonight, and I want us to use Nehemiah chapter 8 be able to look at these things and to challenge ourselves to do better this next year as we study God's Word more and more. I mentioned the context or the background of the book of Nehemiah. I think it's important to remember that God's people have come out of Babylonian captivity. God brought His people back home. The wall had been rebuilt. The law of God was now being reestablished. And I believe this is the context that we're seeing here in Nehemiah chapter 8. And you're going to appreciate the attitude, or we might say the respect, that the people had toward the law of God. And I want you to pay close attention to some of those things. And as I said, we mentioned one of those things this morning from verse number 3. They were attentive. And then down in verse number 5, when the law of God was read, the people stood up. And we'll talk about that and why they did that in just a few minutes. And so we're going to begin in verse number 1, and we'll work our way through the first 9 verses. And I have several points that we'll consider, and I believe the points will help you with the text. As we begin reading Nehemiah chapter 8, we're going to notice in the first verse that the people hungered for the Word. You stop and think about captivity, being in captivity for 70 years, now coming out of captivity, now coming back home, coming back to Jerusalem, having the law of God read before them would be such a wonderful, wonderful thing. The people were spiritually hungry for the Word. Begin with me in verse 1. And all the people gathered themselves together. I want you to underline that and don't lose sight of that. All of the people. And you'll notice, together as one man. I believe what you're seeing here in verse number 1 is a great definition of what the assembly is. The Bible makes that distinction. When we come together in one place. You'll notice that language in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 when it comes to observing the Lord's Supper. We do that as an assembly. We come together in one place to worship, to partake of the Lord's Supper. It's during that time that we come together in one place that we study God's Word and that we pray together, we sing together. Here is a great definition in my mind of what the assembly is. When all the people gather themselves together as one man. By the way, this would include the children. And I want to highlight that point. This would include the children. It would include the little children. And you'll notice as we continue to read, the people would be there for a very long time. This would be a very challenging thing. Having children in the assembly and having the law of God read and being able to pay attention. But it was so important that the people would come together as one man into one place to study the Word of God. Don't lose sight of that with the assembly. Sometimes you'll read about congregations dividing the assembly, and perhaps you've heard of this terminology, children's church. And when the brethren come together into one place, they may have class for the children, and this is during the assembly. I would discourage that, because that is not a healthy thing to do, to remove the children from the assembly, from mom and dad. That's where the children need to be. They need to be there with mom and dad, because mom and dad, they can teach their children. And by the way, I believe there are Old Testament principles, principles that we're seeing right here in Nehemiah chapter 8, Deuteronomy chapter 6, Deuteronomy chapter 11. And Moses talks about the children being there and hearing the law of the Lord, and mom and dad explaining to the children what they were hearing from the law of God as they would observe the various feast days. Mom and dad would explain to the children what they were doing. And you know, the same principles apply today even with our young children. Mom and dad explain what we're doing when we eat the cracker. You know, children see the cracker. Why do y'all eat the crackers? They see the fruit of the vine. We teach them that at a very young age. And so I believe it's important to keep that in mind, because you do hear about congregations more and more during the assembly removing the children from the assembly. Don't do that. You see the terminology again. We come together in one place. That's the biblical pattern, the New Testament pattern for worship. And that causes a lot of problems when you try to divide the assembly. Well, this was a healthy thing for the people of God to come together as one man into the street, verse 1, that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord commanded to Israel. Notice again, they brought the book of the law. The people were hungry for the Word of God. That's what they wanted to hear. And I know tonight that's why we're here. We are here to hear the Word of God. We're not here to talk about what we heard on Fox News. We're not here to talk about the politics of this world. There's a lot of that going on. What we heard maybe on the scanner, that's not what we're here for. We're here for one reason: to open God's Word, to study God's Word, to learn God's Word. And we need to have this spiritual appetite. We should demand that the Word of God be preached. I'm sad to say, but there are a lot of congregations that are starving, spiritually speaking. They're not having the Word preached. People are not hearing the law of the Lord. We hear people getting away from that, and we need to be drawing near to that. We need to be assembling to open God's Word, to study God's Word, to hear the whole counsel of God preached. The Apostle Paul, as he meets with the elders at Ephesus, he'll make that point in Acts chapter 20. For I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. And when we talk about the whole counsel of God, we're talking about the totality of God's Word. We're talking about every subject that we can think of, looking at God's Word, learning what God's Word says. The language of 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21 and 22, we're to test all things, we're to hold fast to that which is good, and we're to abstain from all appearance of evil. Christianity is about making good choices. The kind of choices, the kind of decisions that will bring glory and honor to God. And we have to study God's Word and learn God's Word in order to be able to discern between good and evil. To make those kind of choices. And it begins right here in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse number 1. Hungering after righteousness. When Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount, you remember in the Beatitudes, one of the Beatitudes was, "Blessed is he who hungers and thirsts after righteousness." That's the spiritual appetite, the spiritual craving that we want to have, like Job, who loved God's Word more than his necessary food. Job 23, verse number 12. I want you to think about that attitude that you see in Job 23, verse number 12. And I want to encourage you this year to crave the Word of God, to really work on developing a spiritual appetite of hungering for the Word of God like you would food. There are a couple of things that you can do that will help you crave the Word of God and develop that appetite. A daily study, daily prayer. I would encourage you to try to find some type of reading program that will fit your schedule. Whatever you have to do, whether it's a reading program or whether it's a psalm a day, I want to encourage you to spend more time in the Word of God. And you can start tomorrow morning. Be sure tomorrow you spend time in the Word of God. I know for our family, this is something that we've neglected. This is something that we're trying to change and do better in, studying the Word of God together as a family. Just think how important that is. And you know, we all are busy. If you're not careful, you'll go through the days, you'll go through the weeks, you'll end up going through the years, missing out on great opportunities to really read and study individually, but collectively as a family. I promise you. We could go around this room this evening, and as we examine ourselves, we will all conclude that, you know, when it comes to really studying God's Word and craving the Word of God, there's always room for improvement. Well, we see this here in Nehemiah chapter 8, and it should really cause all of us to really examine ourselves. How do we approach the Word of God? Do we find ourselves only feasting on the Word Wednesday night or Sunday morning, Sunday night, when the Word of God is being proclaimed? Or do we find ourselves daily feasting upon the Word of God? Somebody mentioned this terminology this morning in Bible class, but God's Word is our spiritual food. And we are to walk by faith and not by sight. And if we're going to walk by faith, we have to feed our faith. And we learn in Romans 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Not only did the people hunger after the Word, verse number 1, we see that they heard the Word, verses 2 through 4. Now, we're not going to read through all of the different names, but I just want to highlight a couple of verses here. Let's read verses 2 and 3, and let's think about this point. They heard the Word, they hungered for the Word, and they heard the Word. Listen to verse number 2. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate. Listen to this. From the morning unto midday. Think about that. From morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. You know, when I read these verses challenge me. They were disciplined in their thinking. They were disciplined in their mind. I don't know about you, but I find myself sometimes during worship being easily distracted about the things that are going on in my life, the things that I have to do throughout the week, and I find myself constantly having to rein in my thoughts, to focus more on what I'm doing. What a challenge it is. But notice the people. Notice again, they were attentive toward hearing God's Word. And I want to encourage us to hunger for the Word, and I really want us to hear what God is saying. Jesus talks about this in Mark chapter 4, verse 24. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now we see in Psalm 119, verse number 11, God's Word is to be treasured in our hearts. But how do we get the Word into our hearts? You realize that we get God's Word into our hearts through our ears? You realize that God has given us two ears? God wants us to hear His Word because He wants us to treasure His Word in our hearts. That's how we get the Word of God into our hearts, ultimately into our lives, by hearing God's Word. And here's the attitude. In James chapter 1, verse number 19, James says, when it comes to the Word of God, we need to be swift to hear. That's the King James. We need to be swift to hear. The idea is we need to be ready to hear God's Word. Like Cornelius and his household, we are ready to hear the law of God. What's sad is you go through the Old Testament and there were times where God would cry out to His people. He would exhort His people and His people would respond by saying, we will not hearken. We are not going to listen. Great cross-reference to that would be Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. Thus said the Lord, standing in the ways, this is the context where God says, ask for the old paths and walk therein. But the people said to God, we will not hearken. How sad that is for people to get to that point where they're going to say, you know what, we're not going to listen to God. We need to challenge ourselves to be better listeners when it comes to hearing God's Word. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse number 1, Solomon says, be more ready to hear than to sacrifice. I believe that's interesting because throughout the Old Testament, we read about all of these sacrifices. But in the wisdom literature, God says, you need to be ready more to listen than to sacrifice. I believe when you consider what Solomon is saying is, you know, if you're not careful, you can find yourself just going through the motions and not really paying attention to what you're doing. I believe that's the warning, and that's why Solomon says, again, we need to be more ready to listen to what God is saying so that it will have meaning as we live it out in our lives. Look at a passage with me in Deuteronomy chapter 29. There are many passages in the book of Deuteronomy that we can cross-reference to the points that we're making tonight. But in Deuteronomy chapter 29, I want you to read with me verse number 4. And it goes back to what we just said earlier about the Word of God being in our heart. We get the Word of God in our heart by hearing God's Word. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 29, and we'll pick up in verse number 4. Yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear unto this day. Notice that. Heart, eyes, ears. God wants us to use these members of the body, the eyes, the ears, to treasure His Word into our hearts. And here Solomon is exhorting the people to be obedient to God's Word. Let's be sure again that we are ready to hear God's Word. Look at this other example, if you would, in the book of Acts. To me, this is an interesting point because some of the Jews would hear Paul, would hear the Word of God up to a certain point. Now notice with me Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22. Paul is giving a declaration of his conversion in Acts chapter 22. And I want to begin there in verse number 22. That's the verse that I want us to read. And they gave him audience, that is the Jews, gave him audience unto this word, then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth. Now we're making the point, they heard the Apostle Paul up to a certain point. We might even say that they were in agreement with the Apostle Paul up to a certain point. What was that point? Go back to verse number 21. Paul mentions the word Gentiles. But you know, sometimes we're just as guilty as the Jews. We hear God's word up to a certain point, and then we come across something that we may not like, and we stop listening to God's word. We might want to be like Jeconiah. We want to take out our penknife and cut the word of God up. You realize that there are people that really have that attitude toward the word of God. There are certain things that they don't want to hear. I have people that have told me over the years, I don't want to hear what God's word has to say about marriage and divorce. That seems to be a common one that I hear sometimes people talking about. Don't want to hear what God's word has to say. Well, we're challenging ourselves from Nehemiah chapter 8 that if we're going to be hungry for the word, we need to hear the word. And we need to be ready to hear the word of God and to hear the whole counsel of God's word. If you would go back to Nehemiah chapter 8, and as we're looking through this context, I want you to consider our next point, and our next point comes from verses 5 and 6. Again, they hungered for the word, they heard the word, and then in verses 5 and 6, we see that they honored the word. And Ezra, verse 5, opened the book in the sight of all people, for he was above all the people. And when he had opened it, all the people stood up. It would be like me standing up here tonight, opening the Word of God, and then everybody standing up. That's the picture. Now, read with me verse 6. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, 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 with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. By the way, this isn't figurative language. This is literal language. But it shows the reverence that they had toward God and toward His law. Sometimes people will ask the question, well, why don't we do that? Now, why don't we get down on our knees when we pray? Well, it's interesting as you look at the New Testament, for example, when it comes to prayer. The posture of prayer is not emphasized in Scripture. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul talks about lifting up holy hands unto God. But when you look at the context, I believe Paul is using figurative language that denotes a holy life. Paul isn't saying that we have to lift up our hands. The context denotes holiness. God wants us to be holy. He wants us to live holy so that our prayers will be heard by our God. That's the emphasis. And so when it comes to New Testament worship, again, the New Testament doesn't talk about the posture because the focus is on the heart. And God is the one that searches the heart. But I believe there are principles. I think we could take this to heart. How can we honor God? How can we show Him reverence? Again, by disciplining our minds, by not allowing our minds to wander, they will. But again, we collect our thoughts, we rein in our thoughts. we remind ourselves what we're doing. That's one way we can honor God's Word. Another way that we can honor God and honor His Word, and it's such a beautiful sight to see so many walking in with their Bibles. And I realize in our day of time, sometimes it's technology. Hopefully you're looking at God's Word on your phone and not the NFL scoreboard. But I trust that's what you're doing. You're looking at God's Word. We have Bible programs on our phones. We have a couple here during Bible class. Sometimes I will ask members, hey, will you look up that word for me? It's nice to have those various tools. But again, this is one way we can show reverence to God. We have God's Word. You know, in Exodus chapter 34, I like these principles. In Exodus chapter 34, God tells Moses to come to Mount Sinai. Remember, this would be the second time. He tells Moses to get up early in the morning to present himself before God. And he tells Moses to bring tables of stone. You know, we can show God honor and respect by not only coming to worship with our Bible, but maybe with pen and paper, that we can jot down ideas, maybe scripture references that we want to study out. Again, I'm just mentioning these things to help you, to help me, to really have this attitude that we see in Nehemiah chapter 8, and not to take this for granted. Remember what we said this morning. When we open this Word, we are looking at the inspired Word of God. God's Word is God-breathed. This is God's message. This is God's mind. Look at this passage, if you would, in Isaiah chapter 66. And to me, it encourages us to show reverence toward God, toward His Word. Look at Isaiah chapter, I believe it's the last chapter of the book, Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66. I like this verse. I think about this verse quite often as I study, as I prepare a lesson. I want to prepare lessons that are biblical. My time behind the pulpit is very valuable. I don't want to waste time. That's why, just my opinion, you don't hear me telling a lot of stories and things. Again, I want the focus to be on the Word of God, because this is a very, very serious matter. And listen to Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2. For all those things have my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, listen to it, and trembleth at my word. Notice that reverence that we are to have toward the Word. Do you see what God is saying? When somebody has that kind of respect toward my Word, God says, I take notice of that. I believe God does the same today. He takes notice of that. Whether we respect His Word, whether we honor His Word. Listen, we're not honoring His Word if we're going to His Word and trying to change His Word. And we're trying to add to what God's Word has said. If we're trying to alter worship services and change it so we can draw in more people, that's not honoring and respecting God's Word. God's Word doesn't need changing. God's Word is complete. God's Word is perfect. God's Word is powerful. It doesn't need improving. What we need to learn is to receive it, to hear it, to hunger after it, to respect it, and to honor it. And then if you would, go back to Nehemiah chapter 8. And notice with me our last point. And our last point comes from verses 7 through 8. And again, we're not going to just go through and read all of the names, but notice there in verse number 7, as the Word of God was read before the people, notice this, the Levites, and I'm in verse number 7, the Levites caused the people to understand the law. They honored the Word and they handled the word accurately. It reminds me of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15. We are to rightly divide the word of truth. And I believe that's the essence of what the Levites were doing. They were explaining to the people what was being said, what was being read. I've read, and I believe this could also be accurate if you think about the time period. The people had learned different languages. And it might be that they were interpreting the Word of God in the various languages at that time. And that certainly would fit the context. But we have to understand what we are hearing so that we can accurately handle, rightly divide the Word of truth. And so they read the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Really, that's my job in this setting, is to preach God's Word and to look at God's Word, to look at the various words, to look at the various contexts and to give the meaning of the text, to study the text, to give the meaning of the text so that we will all understand what God's Word is saying. As Paul would say in Ephesians chapter 5, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That takes work on our part, doesn't it? To really rightly divide and to understand the Word of God. Think about what Peter said about some of Paul's writings. Some of the things that Paul said, Peter said, are hard to understand. Peter didn't say that they were impossible, but hard to understand. In other words, we have to be good students of God's Word, and we have to rightly divide the Word of God. We have to understand the basics, the difference between the Old Testament, the New Testament. We need to understand various words like atonement, propitiation, Jesus Christ being our mediator, our intercessor. Again, those are all words that have spiritual significance, and we find those very words in God's Word. And I tell you, when you understand the meaning of those words, it'll change your life. And that's the very nature of God's Word. God's Word has the power to change the way you think and change the way that you live. Allow the Word of God this year to work in your life. Challenge yourself from Nehemiah chapter 8 to have a spiritual appetite of hungering for the Word, wanting to hear the Word of God more and more. And listen, you can do that in your car. You can listen to that through so many various devices that are out there. Let me encourage you to honor God's Word, to respect it, and to rightly divide the Word of God. And I promise you, if you'll do that, you'll find yourself growing. And not only will you be growing, you'll find yourself drawing near to God. Your relationship with God will be stronger at the end of this next year if you will put this into practice. And so let me encourage all of us to have a better year. Let's be more spiritual this year by studying God's Word, being better students of the Word of God. The lesson is yours.